You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. Journalists spend a lot of time communicating online, but what about the offline community? Let's take a technological step away from thinking about Twitter and instant messaging and consider a few of the 8 trillion text messages being sent this year. And think about how we as journalists can use SMS to engage with our audience, connect with sources, receive tips, and crowdsource information. This podcast will hear from 4 SMS experts, all of them presented at the Mozilla Festival in London at the weekend, which is where I caught up with them. Our journey begins 11 months ago in New York, with Jim Colgan, who at the time was a producer and digital editor at New York's WNYC Radio.
In late December last year, a huge snowstorm hit New York, and it caught people kind of unawares. Even though there were lots of warnings because it was around the holidays, people kind of weren't prepared, including the mayor, who was actually away. The snowstorm hit, he came back and was saying that everything was okay with the cleanup effort. There was a lot of pressure because the snow was piling up everywhere. And people were saying that they couldn't actually leave their apartments and all across the 5 boroughs in New York. And they were angry because the snow wasn't being cleared up, but nobody really knew the extent of the lack of cleanup. So when I was at WNYC, we decided to go on the air and ask people to just tell us if their block had been plowed. So we just went on the air and we said, take out your mobile phone, text the word plow, P-L-O-W, to the short code 30644. And answer the question, has your block been plowed? So then hundreds of people did that, and then we got all these data points where people just said yes or no, their block had been plowed, and then we got their address. And then we followed it up with questions like, how is the snow affecting you? So as well as getting the data points of whether, you know, the blocks had been plowed, which we put on a map, and you could see it was one colour for the blocks that had been plowed, another colour for those that had not. But then, and you could access this through the same map, we got the qualitative stories about how the snow was affecting them. So a lot of people were saying they couldn't get to work. A lot of people were worried about emergency services not being able to reach them where they were, like if they had sick relatives in the house. So we got some great stories, and then we also had an audio component. We had them text back a keyword that triggered a phone call, which also was attached to the message on the map, which we could use on the air. And whereas we couldn't send our journalists out to lots of these places because, you know, it's a relatively small newsroom, but also there was snow everywhere and we couldn't really get anywhere, but we sort of crowdsourced the listener stories too. So in our newscast, we were able to play those sound bites of audio from everyone around the city and who told us how the snow was affecting them.
We'll hear from Jim again shortly and learn how we can set up a text service and plot data on a map. But first, let's hear from another example, this time from Africa. Here's Amy O'Donnell from Frontline SMS, provider of free software to enable you to text message large groups of people. Her example is from Kenya.
A guy called John Chebere, who works for a publication called The Organic Farmer, started off as a newspaper, but realised that by complementing that with the radio, he could reach the most rural and disenfranchised communities. What he did was he encouraged farmers to text him in opinions and tips for advice that they'd like to see featured on his show. At one point, people started texting in a disease which was affecting their crop and couldn't quite work out what it was. So by crowdsourcing all of those text messages and also MMS pictures of the disease itself, John was able to bring on an expert onto his radio show as well as an MP, and they figured out together that it was something called Newcastle disease, and the MP was able to offer pesticide advice and about what to do as a result. So as a community, they all came together to help solve the problem.
Amy's colleague from Frontline SMS, Flo Shalom, told me why text messaging is so important.
SMS is just such an accessible tool to reach out to people. So SMS is used across all phone networks, across all phone devices. So even if someone doesn't have access to the internet or doesn't have access to a smartphone, for example, which is a really wide range of your audience still, SMS allows you to reach those people, allows them to share their views. So if you don't use SMS, arguably you're shutting out a portion of your audience. In addition to that, it's a very intimate communications tool in the sense that it's got that personal effect. Like, it tends to be that most people that receive an SMS will read it within 15 minutes of receipt and will often see that as something they might be more inclined to act upon as opposed to even a tweet or an email or anything over the internet, because it does have that personal touch.
So, technically, how can we start communicating with audiences and crowdsourcing via SMS? Here's Flo again.
If you wanted to use Frontline SMS software, you can easily just download it for free from our website, frontlinesms.com. And then once you've got it on your laptop or your desktop, you just plug in a GSM modem or a mobile phone, and then you can use it to manage your text message interactions. So you can put your SMS contacts into contact groups. You can also set automatic replies. So if someone texts into you like wanting to share some news, you can let them know that you'll be back with them shortly, or you can tell them what to do in response to that. And so you can see that that software can enable you as a journalist to really easily manage contacts that are coming in through SMS. You can also export that data, review it later, so it doesn't need to be all just on your handset that might be a challenge to manage. Frontline SMS will enable you to manage that SMS data more effectively, I would say. So that could be one first step to using SMS data efficiently.
But what about if we want to gather data and map it, as Jim Colgan and colleagues at WNYC Radio did during the New York snow?
We used the Mobile Commons platform, which, you know, WNYC uses, and we were able to just create, assign a keyword to a specific, what they call a campaign. So we picked a keyword, the word plow, and we also put some other keywords in there just in case that's what they'd, you know, they type as a mistake. And then anyone who texted in got automatically routed to that campaign, and it triggered the conversation that we had programmed, you know, WNYC had programmed. And then that all came in as structured data. So we were able to export it all together. And what we did was we exported it to a Google Fusion table. And then we were able to instantly map all of that information with everything that came in, including the URL of the audio. Google Fusion Tables is built that way, where you can just create a database for free, and then you can literally click, if you have one of those columns is location, which in this case it was, you can geocode it all automatically and then just click visualize and map and get the embed code. You can also do it using the Google Maps API or even the Fusion Tables API, so it happens in real time, but in this case we just did it when we had batches of information which we then uploaded to a Fusion Table and then just embedded the code on our website, and then we were able to send back a link to everybody who texted in so that they could see the map too. But even if you weren't on the internet looking at the map, you were still hearing about the information by listening to the radio.
If you want to learn how to use Google Fusion Tables, there's a how-to guide on the journalism.co.uk website. Jim Colgan now works for Mobile Commons, the platform he was talking about there that lets you send and receive text messages to engage with your audience. Mobile Commons is a paid-for service, as Jim explains.
Some of the clients of the company are political organizations and huge, you know, non-profits. But for news and media, we're sort of tailoring a specific service that is a lot cheaper than the usual service, where you can just set up campaigns and do this kind of crowdsourcing information in a very affordable way. Because sort of the goal is to get people just doing these great projects, and that's what we did with the radio station in San Francisco, who didn't want to do something on snowstorms because it doesn't really snow very much in California, but they do have earthquakes, so they asked a similar question, only it was asking people, what is in your earthquake kit? And they were able to text back what's in the kit, and if they didn't have a kit, the question was, what's your plan? And they got hundreds and hundreds of people texting in, and had a lot of them on the air interviewing them. And a lot of people who texted in said, no, I didn't have a plan, but now I'm going to get one because you guys asked. It sort of brought it into their mind. And actually, the week that we launched it, there were two earthquakes that week. So it was very timely.
So we've heard about using SMS for crowdsourcing and communicating with an audience. But what about getting tips from anonymous sources? That's something Twilio can help with.
My name's Levy Graham. I'm a developer evangelist from Twilio. What Twilio is a company that provides APIs for developers that are really simple and easy, using standards they already understand, so that they can easily send and create telephone calls and SMS, and also receive them using numbers that they can provision with the API as well.
One of several things Twilio allows you to do is to set up an anonymous tip line.
Informants can call it up, leave a tip for the journalist. Yeah. It records it, transcribes it to text, and emails the recording and the transcription to the journalist.
Twilio allows you to program phones in many different ways. For example, you can set up a conference call option, as could be done by the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy the London Stock Exchange protesters, as a way to communicate with one another and receive texts. Stevie told me where to start.
First, you need a Twilio account. You can liaise with a programmer to build it, but it's very, very simple. It's like 5 lines of our TuML markup language, which are primitives for building telephony applications. We have this thing on our website called Twilio Labs, and our Twilio Labs feature is called Twimlets, which various micro applications you can build, and one of them is the conference line that we showed, and one of them is the voicemail. So you don't need to be a developer to build a voicemail application with Twilio, for example. You just go to the Twimlet page, put in your email address, and put in the message you want Twilio to say to the caller, and then it gives you a URL which you assign to the telephone number you want to use, and when someone calls your telephone number, they're asked to leave a voicemail, and then you're emailed the recording. It helps to have a little bit of technical understanding to understand vaguely what's going on, but you don't need to be a programmer to be something that simple.
So that's 3 options to take a look at: Twilio, Mobile Commons, and Frontline SMS. So what tips does Amy from Frontline SMS have for making SMS work for your readers or radio audience?
One is really understanding the context of your user, understanding what motivates them to interact with your station. So it's very much about posing questions that might engage them. It's about theming and topicing subjects that you'd like them to interact on. And I think that really frames something and makes people want to make a stand and contribute. And the second, I think, is about incentivizing their context. So really is about, if someone texts into your radio station or media source, how are they going to get the feedback on that? How are they going to hear their own voice in the content which they receive back, whether that is revealing a poll result or reading out someone's comment? I think that that's really important in terms of incentivizing it for the future, so someone really feels like their voice has been heard.
For more on crowdsourcing and user-generated content, go to journalism.co.uk. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.